We'll turn it over to you for the Monkfish report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Monkfish Committee and the advisory panel met jointly on August 8th in East Boston. Under tab 10, you'll find the summary of that meeting. The meeting focused on the discussion of Amendment 6 alternatives that had been prepared by the PDT. If you recall, the committee had charged the PDT with developing options that would modify the current days at sea system, establish a days at sea leasing option, integrate monkfish into sector management, and lastly, establish ITQs. At the time of the meeting, the PDT had completed a draft range of alternatives on all but the ITQ alternative. The committee had a productive discussion of the first two options, the days at sea and days at sea leasing. And while the discussion touched on some of the issues related to sectors and guidance to the PDT related to sectors, the committee and AP were unable to venture far into sector management and ITQs due to time restraints. Sectors and ITQs will be considered at the next meeting. Briefly, the alternatives that were discussed included the following. The first was modify the requirement to use a groundfish day at sea when on a monkfish day at sea. The range of alternatives here included eliminating the requirement, next allowing groundfish days at sea to be declared at sea, which would require a joint groundfish action, increase monkfish-only days at sea based on higher groundfish days at sea accounting. What that means is groundfish days at sea are utilized in 24-hour blocks, and monkfish days at sea are actual time in general. So what happens here is the groundfish days at sea get used up much quicker than the monkfish days at sea do. Another alternative under this category would be allow monkfish days at sea in excess of groundfish days at sea allocation to be used at any time. Currently, as long as a vessel has groundfish days at sea, those have to be used concurrently with monkfish days at sea. This puts fishermen in the southern area a little bit of it at a disadvantage due to the timing of the fisheries. There was also a suggestion to expand the northern management area monkfish day at sea at sea declaration to the southern management area. The next major alternative considered, actually wasn't anything that was developed by the PDT, but it did come up in the discussion with the committee, is modify the current possession limits. The reason that didn't appear in the PDT document was that can currently already be set in either a framework or specification process. However, the committee did toss around some ideas that included increasing the 50-pound incidental limit for sector vessels when they're not on a day at sea, and also a couple of options for the directed fishery trip limit. These range from lowering the limit and actually increasing the number of days at sea to eliminating the directed fishery possession limit altogether. Next major component looked at the days at sea and trip limit allocations for the Category F for offshore fishery permits. There were two options here. One of those was to eliminate the trip limit and prorate the days at sea used based on the pounds landed. This would give the offshore boats a little more flexibility and efficiency. The other option was to increase the trip limit and simply reduce the days at sea accordingly. The next major component was to modify the days at sea allocation method to address latent effort. This is basically updating or redoing the days at sea allocation. There were two general approaches to doing this. The first was an individual day at sea allocation based on some measure of history, either days at sea or landings or both. The other was a fleet days at sea allocation based on some threshold of days at sea used, although after the discussion it became apparent that that the southern management area utilizes days at sea more fully than vessels in the northern management area. Northern management area vessels derive a significant amount of their landings while not on a day at sea. So strictly looking at days at sea in the north could be problematic for some people. There was an option in there. If an alternative looking at individual days at sea or even fleet days at sea were adopted, some people would lose access to the fishery, and there was an option developed by the PDT to develop a reserve pool of days at sea for reactivation by vessels that no longer had a day at sea allocation to ease back into the fishery. In looking at this, the committee and the AP decided that if leasing of days at sea is going to be allowed, this feature may not be necessary, and the committee voted on a motion to just move this from the considered but rejected category. Also, there was an option to look at management area differential days at sea allocation. Currently, every vessel receives an allocation for days at sea. However, only 28 of those days can presently be used in the southern management area. The rest have to be used in the northern management area. There was an option that instead of partitioning it that way to differentially count the days at sea used in the southern management area, after it was pointed out by an AP member that this could actually result in the loss of days, the committee voted to move that to the considered but rejected category as well. Next, the committee looked at the alternatives related to monkfish days at sea leasing. It was a very comprehensive set of sub-alternatives there. These involved eligibility requirements, basically what permit types would be allowed to lease days at sea, whether they had to be active or inactive, permit restrictions, you know, whether days at sea could be leased across permit categories or just within permit categories. There were options for vessel size limitations, options for linkage with the groundfish day at sea leasing program, whether groundfish days at sea and monkfish days at sea could be leased in conjunction with each other. There were options that looked at accumulation limits, lease duration, whether it be single-year leases or possibly multi-year leases, area limitations on lease of days at sea, whether days at sea had to be leased within a management area or whether they could cross management areas. There were also criteria for approval of leases. This would be options to consider whether the VTRs were current or not, or whether or not leases could occur to address days at sea overages. There were also options for carryover days at sea and an option for a sunset provision, which after some discussion the committee decided to also move to the considered but rejected section. There's also an alternative to address some issues with Category H permits in the southern end of the southern management area. Currently, this fishery is being squeezed between turtle, marine mammal, and pending sturgeon restrictions and the availability of monkfish. It's making it difficult for them to prosecute their fishery. There were two options proposed here. The first was to eliminate the Category H permit altogether, and the other was to keep the permit but eliminate the demarcation line. There was a question as to whether this action or whether this particular alternative could be implemented soon through a framework action. We haven't yet received an answer to that because there is some urgency in getting this implemented to accommodate those vessels. There was also an alternative that looked at permanent transfers of day at sea. The committee, after some discussion, decided that leasing days at sea is a more attractive option, and utilizing that alternative, permanent transfers of day at sea, is not something we want to consider at this time. So that was also removed to the considered but rejected category. And lastly, like I said, we didn't get too far into the discussion of sector management, but the committee did clarify that its guidance to the PDT was that the sector alternative would focus on integrating monkfish into groundfish sectors and not developing a duplicative and standalone monkfish sector program. While there was positive interest in monkfish sectors in the northern management area, there was no or negative interest in the southern management area. This is largely due to the nature of the fisheries. There are fewer vessels in the southern management area that are presently in sectors, and there are differences in the days at sea usage between the two management areas. There's also a significant number of vessels that actually fish in both areas. So it was clear from the discussion that sector implementation will need to consider a hybrid system with different harvest currencies, possibly PSC in the north involving sectors and days at sea in the south. It's also clear from the discussion that there are a lot of factors to accommodate such a hybrid system, and that will be somewhat of a challenge to implement. But the PDT has made some progress in developing options for such a system. So that basically covered what the committee covered during the meeting. However, before the discussion of the Amendment 6 options began in earnest, the committee did make several observations on the implications of recent events and circumstances that in the groundfish fishery that we have on the monkfish fishery. In the northern management area, where the TAC hasn't been fully utilized in recent years, current regulations are constraining the full utilization of the TAC at a time when monkfish will be important for the survival of many fishing businesses. In contrast, in the southern management area, where the TAC has been more fully utilized, there's a sense in the industry that it will be vulnerable to redirection of groundfish effort toward the monkfish fishery there. And some staff did, and some members did point out that staff time and resources, may be directed toward groundfish issues, and that might happen, or the progress in Amendment 6. And I only mention this because of its relevance and priority setting. So that's my report, Chairman.
Is it my understanding, or is my understanding correct that the PDT and committee need to do some further work on this before the council looks at some sort of a document?
Yes, the PDT did not get through the options on sector management fully. Those need to be considered in a follow-up meeting, as well as what the PDT has worked on, and will soon complete the options on ITQs.
Questions for Mark? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, Mark, it's clear that your committee is putting in a lot of time with advisors regarding the issue of redirection of effort into the monkfish fishery as a consequence of what's happening with groundfish, especially in the Gulf of Maine area. But what I'd like to know is the text that you have on page 2, right after the motion that was made regarding moving section 2.3 monkfish sectors separate from groundfish sectors to the considered and rejected portion. There's a paragraph after that, and it's related to the point I just made about redirection of effort. Is the committee going to follow up on the suggestion made by the advisor or at least one advisor, about shift of effort to the southern area from the northern area by developing an area-specific fishing participation approach. That was a suggestion from the advisor. Is that something that's on the table right now? Has the committee decided to follow that, or is it still open for debate?
No specific measures were presented, and it is open for debate. The committee pretty much focused on addressing the Amendment 6 options that had been developed by the PDT, but there was, you know, some discussion initially on the implications of groundfish, but nothing was firmly decided regarding that.
Any other comments from Mark? Phil?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to point out is that the Mid-Atlantic Council at the committee meeting announced their intent to conduct some workshops in the Mid-Atlantic to better understand stakeholders' issues and concerns with cat share type management, or what their issues and concerns are with the current system. And I talked with Jim about that. There was some planning, but they are moving forward with those. Probably towards the end of October or November time frame, at least to have one down there. These would be Mid-Atlantic sort of listening, scoping type sessions to gauge their stakeholder interest. And the other thing with regard to the timeline, the memo that I distributed to the council in October last year started November of 2011 was the starting point, and it said that 1 to 2 years to develop Amendment 6 cat shares alternatives, and if an ITQ system is included, it would be an additional 6 months. So our plan was to have a committee meeting and come to the council in this November with a range of alternatives for approval to develop into the amendments at the November meeting. But since the ITQ program is involved, it was likely going to be 6 months before you get the full final package.
Dave Gaisel?
Yeah. Based on what Phil said, I mean, reading the committee report, I'm still given this sense that there's a feeling out there that the North supports catch shares and the South doesn't. There's a lot of people in the North that don't either, and for the reason that is in the last sentence of the report on ITQs, that they suggest using an allocation time period of 2000 to 2009. And the reason a lot of people don't support it is because they were effectively frozen out of the fishery during this period, due to permanent closures, rolling closures, trip limits, everything else. And once again, they're going to be disadvantaged. So, I mean, I think we have to find some other ways forward if you're going to sell this program. And that other way forward is something either based on the permit category, like everybody with a Category D gets X amount of pounds or something like that, or as an example, or something that goes back and allocates fish back in the time when people could actively fish, which was the time when you got your monkfish permit in the first place. So, you know, until that conundrum is resolved, you know, there's a handful of people that gain to win by turning monkfish into a sector-allocated species in the North, but the vast majority of people don't. And you know, I'm going to keep raising this issue because, you know, it is a very important issue to an awful lot of people that feel they're being disadvantaged by this process. So I still hope the committee will develop some other alternatives, you know, with the idea of how to be inclusive based on the permits that people already have. Thank you.
Mark Gibson, did you have your hand up on that? Okay. Phil?
Yeah, just in the interest of people getting a decent night's sleep tonight, not getting all spun up on this, David's concerns are addressed in the range of alternatives that we're coming up with. We have, based on original permit qualification, we've got equal allocation. We've got a hybrid system, recent years, 10-year period, 5-year period, and any of those can be combined and weighted. So you could have 50% equal, 50% recent service or recent landings, and you can pick the time period. And I think that, you know, before people get too worried. You know, they're going to have a full range, and it, none of them is going to appeal to everybody, but maybe one of them will appeal to enough people.
Thank you, Phil. Anyone else? Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But am I right in saying either Phil or Mark, when those options are laid out, though, the people, the permit holders aren't going to have what allocation would go to each time period, right?
That's correct. We were under the previous regional administrator when that request came forward. And that request actually came up through the scoping process. A number of stakeholders said, I don't know if I like this or not until I see what I'm going to get under these various options. That information would not be forthcoming. And I don't know if John is up to speed on this issue enough to comment, but I would suggest that given we have now revisions to the confidentiality requirements for the data, that it's going to be even more difficult once that new law takes effect, new rules take effect. Because it has to do with transfer permits and the data that was generated under a previous owner. If that person is untouchable because he's passed away or out of town or whatever, you can't get that information. So they're going to go through a whole lot of work to give you a number that's not really going to be the number when the final thing is done. But you're right.
Anything else, Mark, under Monkfish?
No, Mr. Chairman, that's it.
Thank you very much for that report. We will move on to enforcement. Frank Blount. Frank Blount. Frank Blount. Frank Blount. Frank Blount. Frank Blount.